Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. And today we've got a wonderful guest on. His name's Brendan and we're going to be talking all about communication. How important communication is, but we're going to go through some of those finer details today and how that links in with our intuition. So really, really important. And I'm a little bit nervous because I know I'm saying a lot of ums and ahs, and Brendan, of course, is the professional on here, and he'll be going, oh my goodness, listen to her. She really needs some help. But I'm sure he'll be forgiving for me. Before we start, like, subscribe, share the podcast, do what we need to do, and we will invite Brendan in straight away. Hey, Brendan, how are you going?
Good, Susan. Yes, definitely forgiving. No worries. Good to be on. How are you?
Good. Yes, please forgive me for all my ums and ahs. I did do a little bit of, that international speaking.
Toastmasters?
Toastmasters, yes. I did a lot of, I really enjoyed it for a long time, and COVID hit and everything else sort of went through, but I was enjoying that side of communication and getting a lovely understanding about it and how important it is. I have to be honest, I've always been very particular in what I have said. Well, since starting doing my spiritual work, I have always been particular on what I said because I know words can be so... it can be so sharp, can be so painful sometimes if you're saying the wrong ones. One of the first things I remember, and I'm going to get into your story. Sorry, I'll just say this.
No, please.
One of the first things I remember in the spiritual work I was doing was to stop saying the word should. And this is when I first started to get an understanding about how important language was and how important communication was. And it was like, stop saying should, because should makes somebody wrong, whether it's you or somebody else. They should do that. It's making them wrong. I should do this. It's making me wrong. I could do this was another way of looking at it. And it was a real aha moment I had to get an understanding of how important communication was. But enough of me talking. I want to talk about you. I want to hear you. Okay, how did you get from being where you were to Brendan from Master Talk? And I have seen that some of the videos, and they're really cool. So how did you get here, Brendan? Sorry.
You're all good, Susan. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the kind words and love the story as well. Yeah, so how it started for me, Susan, was when I was in university/college. I went to business school and I did these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So while other guys, I know it's the only way to explain this, to be honest. While other guys my age were playing rugby or cricket or footy or, you know, basketball, I wasn't one of those guys. I did presentations competitively, and that's how I learned how to speak. But as I got older, Suzanne, I started coaching people the same age as me, because they needed help with the competitions and to do well. So what happened, Susan, was after I did that, I had the idea for Master Talk because I realized that everything I was coaching them on wasn't available for free on the internet. So I started making videos in my basement, and one thing led to another, and here we are today.
Wow. Okay. So yes, I understand that nerdy part of it. I went back to uni when I was 48. Yes, I am old. And right. And I really learned structure a lot more ideas about structure and understanding things like that. So, and I love it. I absolutely love that side of things and the importance of communication. One of the courses I did was a communication course in there, and it is really, really vital. What we're going to be talking about is you've got a few tips that we're going to go through. The first one I want to address, because we're just going to go straight into it now. First one I want to address is the first tip I saw was the silence. Now, when I say silence, when we say silence, it's the pause. Oh, hang on. Before we get into there, I want to know first. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Please. I want to know first why communication is important and how we can use that in our regular lives.
Absolutely, Susan. You know, the way that I think about this is communication is so much more than just giving a presentation at work or getting the next job. It's every moment of our lives. It's the way that we talk to our families. It's the way that we listen to our intuition. It's the way that we meet strangers when we travel, the way we order food at a restaurant. And once we realize that communication is not just about increasing the bank account, but more importantly, about leading a more fulfilling life, that's when communication becomes exciting, interesting for us to learn. And the question I have for the group to think about, Susan, is the following. How would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? Start to really dream about your communication. We dream about our vacations, the expensive cars and houses we want to buy. When was the last time we dreamed about our communication skills and being better at it? And that's what will really unlock the world for us.
Yes, that's very true. And we don't sort of think of that. It's not sort of a dream that we have. And yet imagine how much better we could communicate with our children. How much better we could communicate with our peers, our the people at work, our friends. Because I know I've heard my partner turn around and say, did I not say that right? Was there something wrong there in what I said? Did they not understand what I put forward? Because he's in this position where he has the hierarchy that are talking in a completely different level to the workers on the ground, and he's in between it, and he's trying to do these communication between the two. And it's the same with us at home. Communicating with my child is so much different to communicating with the boss. So the importance of communication, I never thought of it as a dream of being able to, oh, wow, what is it going to be like when I can communicate properly? Never, ever thought of it like that. But imagine what it would be like. That would be awesome. So how do we start that, Brendan?
Absolutely. You know, the way that we start that is the first strategy that we talked about, Susan. But in terms of the question, just spend 10 to 15 minutes reflecting on it. Because to your point, Susan, a lot of us don't really think about the question at all. And when we spend that reflection time, that's what gets us really excited about actually going on that journey. Because if we don't have the motivation to do it, any tactic that we'll talk about today won't do it justice. So it's important to take that step. In terms of the first strategy that I know we talked about is the art of the pause, right? Pausing is foundational to the art of communication. And the reason why pausing is so important is it because it allows us to draw emphasis to the parts that matter most in our presentations. Imagine if I sped throughout this entire interview, I said, and I didn't pause at all. The audience wouldn't know what are the most important parts of my message. That's why when I say questions like, how would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? Notice how I slow down and I pause intentionally so that the audience signals in their mind that this is an important thing to pay attention to. So pausing is an effective tool, not just in our presentations, but more importantly, in our everyday conversations. Let's say we're having a conversation with a significant other. It's one thing to say, well, I'm feeling like this, versus, hey, I'm really feeling like this and this and this, to make sure that it's easier for other people to hear what we're saying.
Oh, that really hits home, doesn't it? And the same with when we're speaking even to a child, you know, it's about getting their attention. And when we're pausing, we do get that attention because they sort of waiting for the next bit. Oh, I'm waiting for the next bit. And when you do take that that little pause back, it allows that to sort of come through then. So yeah, that's really cool. But also in the pause, it gives us. And this is where I want you I want your advice on this one. Also in the pause, I have noticed that extroverted people talk a lot because they get energy from other people. introverted people need to pause to take in that information. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And as an extrovert, I can definitely speak to one of those sides, which is absolutely true. Whenever we're at a party, at a bar, an event, we don't like the space. That's why, by the way, Susan, it's a lot harder for me to coach extroverts on how to pause, because it's not innate in our being. That's why it took me a long time to do it. Whereas introverts, there's a couple of things. One piece that you touched upon, which is accurate, is the idea that introverts like to pause to keep the space so that they're able to regenerate a little bit of energy back. And the other piece is that they're also more comfortable in the silence because they speak less on average. So naturally, they'll listen more and they'll add more pauses in the way that they communicate. But I would say the idea here is not really to think about just who am I in this spectrum? Am I more introverted or extroverted? But rather, what can I learn more from the other side? So if I'm more introverted, pausing comes more natural to me. So what can I learn from the extrovert? Oh, I could learn about vocal projections and taking a little bit more risk and getting a little outside of my comfort zone. And if I'm more extroverted, I can learn from the introvert and realize that I need to pause more effectively so that I can emphasize and be more comfortable in the silence.
Ah, what gold information. I'm loving this. Okay, so an introvert, obviously, they can pause a little bit easier. They have that ability to do that. They can pick up the energies and things from other people a bit differently. So an extrovert needs, and that's where you're going to have, if you're an extroverted and on that sort of side of things, you're going to need to focus a little bit more on how to pause, how to do that side of things. So that's really interesting. All right, so that's our first area that we're looking at. So the first area in helping us communicate properly with friends, family, work, colleagues, whatever it is, the first thing we need to be mindful of is basically the pause. And when we look at that, it's like how much information you're getting out and how quickly. So allowing us to slow it down a little bit there and pause to emphasize what we want the people to hear. Whoa, I've got a mind. Look at that.
Yeah, you're doing great. And also, to tie it back in with intuition, because I do this a lot, is when we think about the pause, that's what allows us to hear our intuition. And I find that we live in a very noisy world. So when there's so many distractions, it's really hard for us to follow what our intuition is telling us to do. Versus what I do every morning is I take a 2-hour pause. That's the first meeting of my day. I listen to a podcast for 90 minutes, and that's my version of the pause. And that helps generate new ideas that I wouldn't really come up with if I don't actually take a break from reality. So that pause is not just in the context of communication. I also think that pause is in the context of our life as well, to give us space to actually listen to our intuition instead of it playing catch up to our busy, busy day-to-day life in today's society.
Yes, absolutely. Totally agree with that. And we're going to touch back onto that because I really love that. I'm going to finish off with that if I remember. Okay. What I want to know is the next step. So what's the next step that we can look at in ways to communicate better?
Absolutely, Suzanne. So the next piece is really around the filler words, with the ums, the ahs, the uhs, the blurs. How do we get rid of these filler words? The first step is to understand why they exist. Very simple. The reason why a lot of us say filler words is to buy time. So let's say you ask me a question, you go, okay, Brendan, what about this? And I go, Suzanne, I'm not sure. And then I come up with the answer. So I'm pausing, or rather saying filler words to buy time. What do the best communicators on the planet do? They still need time to think about the answer. They're any smarter than us, right? That's not the difference. The difference is that they buy time differently. So instead of going, good question, Susan, they just say, do this. Susan, that's a great question. Here's what I think. So notice how the great speakers, they're still buying the same amount of time, but they're pausing in the middle of their presentation, of their thought process, to buy them time to think about what to say next.
That just sounds so simple, and yet I know I still do the ums and ahs. And I have heard this before. I still struggle with it. Okay, so I need to be more mindful of what I'm saying. Is that what you mean? So I don't do the ums and ahs?
Absolutely. Here's some more specific advice, Susan. The way I see it, it's a spectrum, right? So the goal is never to get to zero. The goal is to bring the count lower. So I used to say filler words all the time. And the idea is whenever we practice, we need to focus on one ball at a time. I think of communication like juggling 18 of them at once. One of them is pausing. The other one is vocal tone variety. The other one is storytelling. The other one is relationship building. And the list goes on. And that's not the right approach. You don't want to try and juggle all 18 balls. It's not going to work. So instead, what you want to do is pick up one ball at a time. One ball. Get really good at pausing. And get so good at pausing that it becomes instinctual. And then just focus on filler words. So the way that I coach people on this is even if they're saying gibberish, I don't mind. As long as they're not saying filler words. So if they literally go, but they actually pause, I see that as a big win. As long as they're focused on that. But if we're focused on 18 things, it's natural that we won't see quick improvements. And I did that for 3 weeks until I had it right and I had the skill for life.
Oh, wow. So you practiced for 3 weeks and then, right. Because I was getting better at it. I must admit, when I was doing the training, but I have weaned off it. I need to practice that a bit better. And that will be lovely when I'm doing that with the podcast so I can really focus on not using those filler words. But I must admit, I'm doing it now while I'm talking to you, and it is a little bit challenging.
Absolutely. And another thing that helps as well is as you're speaking, if you feel you're going to say a filler word, just reduce your pace. Just yes. Speaks so that you buy more time. So that way the filler words doesn't come out.
Right. So the trick is to slow down what I'm saying. Then I don't need to use the filler words. Yep.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Then, so we've looked at the pause. And as we're doing the pause, we're actually we're slowing down. But we're also, then we can start to relate ourselves to the filler words. And if we're slowing down because we're pausing, we're also being really mindful of the filler words.
Exactly right.
So it's stepping, we're stepping forward as we go. Okay.
It's like a domino effect where you have a domino. And once one of the dominoes falls, when we get better at pausing, the number of filler words that we see automatically decreases. When we get better at filler words, our ability to pause gets better, and it's a stacking effect. But the key is to always be in movement, Susan. As we're practicing one thing, it leads to the other, which makes us a much better communicator long term.
Oh, I love this. This is really cool. Okay. Slowing down, not using filler words, pausing,
practicing. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Okay. What is our next step?
Absolutely. So number three is eye contact. Especially in today's society, Susan, a lot of us aren't really looking into the eyes of each other. And of course, for the last 2 years, it was harder since we didn't really meet up in person. But the key is how do we bring that eye contact back? I have a strategy that I coach people on called long stares. It's not hard. I mean, it's not easy, so to speak. So the secret is pick somebody that you love in your house, somebody near you, and stare at them for 3 minutes. This is what I force people to do. And it's very difficult. I call it the endless gaze. And the reason it's so effective is because it forces us to do the harder thing. Because when we get at an actual presentation, Susan, and we're speaking to different audience members, we only have to stare into their eyes for maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds max. But if you practice 3 minutes with your significant other, your kids, you'll get a lot better pausing in general and being able to stare into people's eyes comfortably. So that's the third piece, is really mastering eye contact. So you build that rapport with the audience. And then last point on this, it's a lot easier to do it online, I will admit, because you only have to look at one area. which is the one I'm staring at right now, the camera lens. So you could put a picture of your family, a favorite food that you like, something similar, so that you can get the result that you're looking for.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I agree. You're only looking in a camera in this sort of situation. We're only looking straight ahead. But doing a talk, if you're talking to someone else, yes, we need to have that eye contact. To do it for 3 minutes? Whoa, that.
You know, it's funny you say that, Susan, because I don't say you have to do it strangers. Some of my clients, they always say, like, you know, Brendan, I can't do it with my wife. And I go, what do you mean you can't do it with your wife? You've been married to her for 16 years. Of course you can. If you can't, who else are you going to do this with? So yes, it is challenging, but I think it's one that it reignites relationships and also makes you better at communication. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay, so if you're doing this for 3 minutes, are you allowed to talk or you're just staring at someone? Not allowed to talk.
No talking. I like how you're trying to get at it. You're like, can I talk? Can we talk about the dishes? What's for dinner? No. You can't say anything. You're allowed to blink though. That's okay. It's not a like you could blink. You just can't talk. That's all.
Oh my goodness, you are so generous allowing us to blink. Thank you.
Of course. And by the way, I already know full well, Susan, most people won't do this, but the one person who does, they'll get a result that will completely change their life.
Yes. I have done a few, like I say, talks, presentations, and I must admit, when you're really engaging with your audience, to look at them, you can really do that very, very easily. If you've got that passion going or you've got that connection going, I find that I can look at someone while I'm talking, I don't lose track of what I'm saying. It's almost like I'm talking directly to them and you're looking at them and you're focused on them, and it does make it really easy. So I don't know where I got that skill from, but yes, I do know what you mean. When you're doing this gazing across the top and people say, oh, you always focus to the very back of the room. No, I don't feel like I connect properly. I like to look at somebody in the front rows type thing or close to the rows where I can really see their eyes and really connect with them. And I think it's really important.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
3 minutes. Whew.
Get to it, Susan.
My partner's got COVID at the moment, so I don't even know if I'll be that close to him, but still, I will have a try, and I'll put the timer on because there's no way I'm going longer than 3 minutes. That's
maybe start with 30 seconds. Maybe we'll go a little easier on you.
Be gentle with me, Brendan. Okay, so we've gone through pausing. I just did it. Oh, sorry. Pausing. We've gone through the filler words. We've looked at eye contact and with slowing down as we're doing this. So the pausing's almost like slowing down too, isn't it? So I've done it again. I'm going to be pulling myself up now every time I go.
Oh, good. That's okay. I think you're being too harsh on yourself.
I know.
It took me years. I've been doing this for 7 years, by the way. So it's okay, Susan. It's one step at a time.
Now we need to know what the next step is after I've done my 3 minutes of staring.
I mean, at this point, if you've done all of that, I'm impressed. I'm already clapping for whoever's doing this. You've already gotten more than enough from today's episode. But if I had to give two last ones, I would say the fourth one is vocal tone variety, which is high tones, low tones, and speaking tones. So these are more of a bonus tip. So there's three types of tones, generally speaking. High tones, low tones, and normal speaking tone. That's the one that we usually speak in. And different tones convey different emotions. But here's kind of the easy thing for today. Never maintain the same tone. I call it the roller coaster of emotion. So whenever I'm giving a presentation or even answering a question on a podcast, you'll notice a lot of the time, Susan, if you really pay attention to the voice, I'm always varying my vocal tones all the time. And that's what keeps the excitement of the audience, what keeps people engaged. When people listen, they're like, wow, this is the most interesting communication workshop slash episode I've ever listened to. Versus if I did this the entire time, Susan, it's so great to see you and everything that you're doing. Notice how the second I switch out of that, you notice immediately that I become a lot boring, essentially, a lot more boring. And that's really the key, is to vary your tones. So the key is practice your high tones, your low tones, and vary those tones as you're speaking.
Okay. To do that, too, you need to be mindful of when you're lifting them and when you're lowering them. Because if I'm excited about something and I go like this, it's not going to sound very exciting. Whereas if I'm excited and I do that, that's what creates that, doesn't it? So we're getting those highs and lows just in that context.
Absolutely. There's definitely exceptions to the rules. Like the one, like for example, if a car accident, you want to go car accident. Like, no, you don't want to do that. That doesn't really make right. It's not our intuition telling us to run away. Right. So yes, you're absolutely right, Susan. In that context, you also need to pay attention to the words that you're using and making sure that the vocal tone that you're using is reflective of that word. So when you do it that way, you're signaling to the audience what is the emotion you want them to feel, and make sure there's an alignment there. Absolutely. But I think the bigger thing, the beginner version of vocal tones, because vocal tone is pretty advanced, I would say, and is pretty much reserved for people who are willing to do the 3-minute stare. That's the way I see it. It's really for those people, I would say, then tackle vocal tones. But until you've stared into somebody's eyes for 3 minutes, I wouldn't go into vocal tone variety just yet. It's a bit more complicated.
Okay, but if we're talking about the general communication between our family or the work, we still need to have that, and we're going to do that naturally. So the way you're talking about it is when we're doing it as a presentation, so professionally, but naturally we do it as well. So if we don't want a child to touch something, we will raise our voice and go, oh, don't touch that. Whereas if we were talking to a friend or something and they're experiencing trauma or a problem, then we would more likely to drop that tone. And that is how people can understand the difference between the vocal tones. So, yeah, when you start talking about we're having a problem, you know, your voice naturally will drop. Or well, I'd imagine it would have to, wouldn't it?
Let's put it this way, Susan. I sure hope it does. That's yes. My hope. And you're clearly a master at this. That's probably why you have a happy marriage, right? It's because you know how to do this. I would argue, though, that you are more the exception, probably not the norm. Because a lot of the times when people say there's a problem, it usually sounds, there's a problem, okay?
Of course.
So here's what I would say. I would say you're right, but we need to take exactly what you're saying to the extreme. So we can't just do it moment to moment. We want to try and do it as much as we can and be mindful of that tone in every situation. Absolutely true.
Okay. So yes. So I didn't think about that. There's a problem. Yes, that is very true.
Not in your home, though. In your home, it's
I'm not really impressed with that. You know, like I'm not happy with that. I do tend to go that way when there's a problem, and that way when there isn't. So, being mindful of it in our regular communication will obviously help us when we want to step further. If you want to go into professional communication, that side of things. So, being mindful of it now is really, really important. And it's important to make sure we are getting it across right. If you want to communicate with your partner and we're looking at, you know, you've got an issue, a raised voice is probably not the best way to do it, because you're instantly going to put them on, what's going on? You know, like that fight and flight, what's happening? So, yes, I absolutely agree. And I do take that for granted. Poor people. All right, we've got time for one more. Have you got time for one more?
Absolutely, absolutely. I would say the last one, Susan. And absolutely, I think the key takeaway for you, Susan, is you are a skilled communicator. You just happen to do a few ums and ahs. That's an easy fix. That's it. That's the way you need to think about it. You're 80% there. That's the key.
Oh, cool.
Right. So I would say the last one is it really goes back to the question. how would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? A lot of people, when I say that question, Susan, they usually say, oh, that's a cute question. And they usually sidestep it. I would encourage you not to do that. Spend 10 to 15 minutes and really reflect on that question. How would my life change? What do I actually want? Because for all of us, communication serves a completely different purpose. Even if it's important to all of us, it's important for different reasons. So for me, it's about having a personal brand, having a YouTube channel, being a great podcast guest. But for somebody listening to this, their priority could be more, well, actually, I just don't want my husband to yell at me all the time. So how do I communicate more? Or opposite, I don't want my wife to yell at me all the time. Or kids. Or it could be, I want to make new friends. Everyone has a different reason for why communication matters to them. And the first step is to figure that out. Because if we don't have the motivation, as Tony Robbins says it best, if something is not a must, it won't happen. So start to think about that in your life. Why is communication a priority for you? And once you figure that reason, you'll be able to apply it across the board.
Oh, I really like that, because I put down in the spiel that it's really important. Communication is really important when you're doing card readings, or you're doing counseling, or you're, when you're doing, you know, different things like that. But when you're doing counseling, if you've done a training or a counseling course, you usually get communication as part of that training. Whereas we often are counseling without the legal terminology to it, we're often guiding and helping our friends. We may not be doing it in the right way, shape, or form, because we're not communicating correctly with them. So yes, and this is where you look at those tones and things. It's like, if I want to tell my friend that you need to just calm down and stop, you know, going off the handle, or, you know, not that I'd tell my friend that, but if you wanted to do it, and you're doing that in those high tones, you gotta stop doing this, you must not do that, you're not going to get the same response. So communication is just as important for you talking to your next door neighbor as it is being a professional on stage. But until you know exactly why you want to communicate better, the reasons behind it, it's not going to be important to you, is it?
Absolutely, Susan. You 100% nailed it. It's the idea that if we really want something in our life, we'll push it further. So, for example, like, think about the long stairs. A lot of people wouldn't do that if they don't have a strong reason to. Whereas people who are already in, let's say in the context of a romantic relationship, let's say two people are already in a really good relationship, and they hear that, they go, I want to try that because I want to make the relationship even better. So they have that motivation. So it always stems back to what we want. And when we figure out what we want, it's a lot easier to do the silences, to do the pausing, to remove the filler words, because we want to do it badly. Take me as an example. Why did I remove my filler words? The number one reason was to win competitions. I knew if I didn't remove filler words, I wouldn't win. I would lose all of the competitions I competed in college. So that drove me. That gave me the motivation. But for all of us, it's going to be different. It probably won't be competitions.
Yes, that's very true. But it still could be. It's still, yeah, we still do that. I guess we have a different level of competition. We might not be talking in competition, but we might be still in competition if you were a life coach and you're wanting to, you still want, need to communicate properly. So I really like that. And I think that's one of those key points, is to get an understanding of why you want to communicate. And what a great way of starting a romantic relationship, by being able to stare for 3 minutes in each other's eyes.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that, just that in itself, help the relationship going forward? Because straight away you're learning to communicate. Be just doing the stare. I think everyone needs to do this. I think I need to do it.
You're like, honey, stare into my eyes. She's like, what?
Yeah, go away, you pest. You'll go. But yes, what a fantastic way to start a relationship, just by sitting there and staring. I know we've done this sort of thing when we do develop our intuition. That's one of the things you do when you're doing readings. I do flower readings. So when you're doing different types of reading, card readings, all this, the rest of it, you're having to pause to bring in those intuitive messages. But are you relating that out, those messages out correctly? And I know that when we get these messages coming through, the communication of how you bring it forward, because it those messages are coming through our stuff and then heading out to your stuff type thing. So if I was doing a reading for you, I get these messages and I can only explain them how I see them or how I feel they are about. And then I put that forward to you. If I'm not doing that in the right manner, you're not going to take on those messages conducively. You're not going to take on those messages in the right form. So it's really, really important to be doing that. So we've got to work out why we want to do it, and then we can do it. Sorry, that was the long way around. Took the sending crew.
No, thing. You're excellent at summarizing. I completely agree. And I love how you tied it so well to intuition as well, Susan. That was excellent.
I find it important. I do find that really important. Okay, so we've gone through all those areas there. The biggest thing being we need to understand why we want to communicate. We can look at pausing, slowing down, because pausing and slowing down is really important, which you're doing the same sort of thing. Filler words and our tones, how we're expressing those tones. So being mindful of that. If we practice that in our own home, then it allows us to take it forward and further into the community and share it with other people.
1,000%.
Okay. I think we've covered off on everything. I want to just go back a little bit back about the pause and the how that you connecting with your intuition there, because you say, hang on, let me bring up this. Brendan believes communication and intuition are one of the same. And if we can communicate with intention to the world, it naturally brings forward our intuition. Can you go over that a little bit more? Because I like that bit.
Of course, I'm happy to, Susan. So how do I see the relationship between communication and intuition? When we learn to communicate more effectively with others, it also improves our ability to communicate effectively with the most important person, ourselves. So when we learn to communicate more effectively with ourselves and we start to ask the difficult questions about life, we don't just figure out those answers, whether it's through our intuition or a reflection, we're also able to communicate those new intentions to the world. So how do I see the relationship between communication and intuition? Communication allows us to not only absorb our intuition, to listen to our intuition, but to also share it with other people. And when we're able to share our intuition in a way that other people can understand it, it can help accelerate that intuition much faster. In the same way that when I had the intuition that I shouldn't be a corporate employee and that I should use MasterTalk as a vehicle to create millions and billions of change makers, it was a lot easier for me to communicate that intuition to the world and get the help that I needed to make that dream come to life and manifest as quickly as possible as it did. So that's what I would encourage people to think about, is as you become a lot better at your communication, and not just improves the relationships around you, it also improves the relationship with yourself and how you learn and share intuition with others.
I love that. And so it's how you're interpreting it and how you're sharing it. Yes. Oh, that is really cool. A must. And we have got down on the little ticker tape, we have got Brendan's, it's your website, which is rockstarcommunicator.com. And I have to say that because there could be other ones. So rockstarcommunicator.com. You can connect with Brendan on that website there. And I popped on there and it's really cool. You'll get plenty on there. You've got a little free video there that tells you a few of the tips, goes through a few of them too. So jump on there and have a look. But again, we just want to amplify the importance of communicating correctly, because we can take stuff on. It's very much like when you see videos of that on YouTube or when you see TikTok and things like that, we can take on board text messages, communicating in a text message. We can take it on board so wrong because you haven't got your tonings when you've got a text message. You haven't got the body language when you've got the text message. And we can take on this communication so wrong. That is almost the definite spot where you need to pause and go, hang on, what were they trying to communicate with me when I got this text message? Were they really grumpy? Because that's what it sounds like. But were they not? Were they just in a hurry and they needed to do the text? So, yeah, I know we're talking about verbal side of communication, but there's that text message side. And we can still go into the same. When we do with the text message, we can still look at it and go, but pause, don't read it all at once. Just because I haven't put a paragraph in there doesn't mean there's not a break. So it is really important to communication is just the be all and end all. But we are running out of time, Brendan, and so I will ask you, have you got one more thing you'd like to share with us, how we can connect with you, anything you'd like to share before we finish off?
Absolutely, Susan. I love, love, loved having this conversation with you. You're such a light, and thanks so much for this. This is great. I would say my final word is going back to the question once again. How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? Once you're done that reflection and you have your answer, I would encourage you to share that answer with other people so that and get other people to answer that question too. Because when we create a shared experience around communication, that's what gets us excited about mastering it, not just as one person, but as a group, as a community, so that we can all become great communicators. You know, my dream at the end of the day, Susan, is if we were all exceptional communicators, there would be a lot less divisiveness in the world. Yeah, sure, we might disagree, but we'll do it in a healthy way. We'll be able to have the healthy conversations, we'll know how to resolve conflict, and we'll make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. Because too much of what happens is because we're not communicating properly. Absolutely. Totally agree. Thank you so much for being on the show, Brendan. That was brilliant.
The pleasure was absolutely mine. Thanks for having me.
Okay, stay on there while I do the closing and everything else because I do want to chat with you after this. Hang on, let me press all the right buttons. Yep, here we go. Wow, guys, you just don't realize how important it is. Communication is really out there. It's so important. It is so easy to say something and someone else take that meaning on incorrectly. And you sort of go, well, that's not what I said, but that's what you said. It was maybe how you said it that wasn't quite correct. So be really mindful of how you are communicating. And I will be really mindful about how many ums and ahs I'm doing as I go along. But anyway, guys, like, subscribe, share the podcast. We are on YouTube as well, so you can get us anywhere. Jump onto Intuitive Personal Development Facebook group and you can get some free readings on there. Free flower readings every Tuesday morning, which is Australian time. Probably be Tuesday morning would be Monday afternoon, American time. So that is it for me today. Have a great week and I will see you next week. Okay, bye for now.